Welcome to episode 557 of Salcedo Paranormal. I'm your host, James Salcedo, and tonight I'm doing another book review, continuing another book review, this time of The Book of Ceremonial Magic by A.E. Waite. And as always, you can find all episodes of the show, along with links to social media and other ways to contact me, at the podcast page, and that is salcedoparanormal.podbean.com. That's S-A-L-S-I-D-O, paranormal.podbean.com. Always happy to hear from you all, whether you have comments or questions or topic suggestions, or stories of paranormal experiences, whether they're your own or from others that you trust. Happy to either read those or have you join me on the show to talk about them. Thank you all for listening, whether you are here for the live streams on Discord, or if you listen to the podcast or YouTube feeds, or on the Trouble Minds Radio Network, KUAP, Digital Broadcasting. There you can hear replays of two episodes of the show every night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, right before Michael Strange and Trouble Minds Radio, comes on. And I always like to thank Michael Strange for having me on the network and putting my shows up there as well. So, if you'd like to support the show, there are some different ways to do that. You can always share the show with others and rate and review the podcast on your favorite platforms. You can also find paranormal fiction and nonfiction books I've written over on Amazon. And you can sign up for the Patreon page, where you'll get one extra True Paranormal Stories from the Web episode every month I am able to do so. Or you can just make one-time donations through PayPal. Support is never expected, but always appreciated, as there are expenses in making these shows, from equipment to research materials to travel expenses in some cases. And again, like I said, we just started this this current series of book review shows a couple episodes ago, talking about this book of ceremonial magic. It's sort of a history of the of magic in general, it looks like, from what I can tell so far. And from this one author, his name is Arthur Edward Waite, from his point of view. So that's what we're doing today, continuing with that. And this will be a long series, I can already tell. So I hope you all enjoy it. Let me know if it really doesn't work for you. And if I get enough response like that, then maybe we'll stop it and do something else. But hopefully you all enjoy it. So getting to the document here. Again, this is all just summaries of that text, of that material that that have been generated by AI, so that I can read just these summaries and then talk about them as we go. So that's sort of what's going on here. This is not actually the text from the book. It's the summarization of that text. So going back to part one, chapter one, section one. Says, and again, these shows are all from the point of view of this one author, so I may not, probably won't agree with everything, but we'll just take it as we go and cover all that when we get there to any points like that. I did that last time too. It says, the summary says, church and state accepted the effectiveness of ceremonial magic, leading them to persecute magicians harshly. Let me see. So magic posed an implicit threat to the church's spiritual authority. So this is talking about these opposing viewpoints of sort of really, I mean, one set of ceremonies, people that practice one set of ceremonies to another group that do their own ceremonies or rituals. Says, to understand the literature of magic, one must see it as either one, folly or imposture, so basically just doesn't make sense, or two, concealing real secrets in symbolism, or three, containing some ancient elements perpetuated through esoteric traditions, like Kabbalism, not sure if I'm saying that right. Says the Kabbalah has been viewed as either supreme nonsense or a body of theosophy in symbolism. Again, these are this author's views here. I have no real opinion on any of this except for, as always, be respectful. Be respectful to everyone. So, says this leads to seeing ceremonial magic as either meaningless superstition or hiding real secrets. Some occultists claim there are secret societies possessing the true keys to magical rites and symbols. Printed magical texts fall into three classes. One, works by adepts revealing partial truths. Two, works by independent seekers who discovered some real secrets. And three, travesties and distortions of magical doctrine and practice. So in other words, it's all information, and you always have to take into account or try to figure out who's sort of is doing it right or reading it right or whatever, and who's not, and who's just putting out stuff for their own reasons. Excuse me. So it says, most extant ceremonial magic texts fall in the third class, and that is, of course, travesties and distortions of magic doctrine and practice. Excuse me. Reflecting the ambitions of medieval sorcery combined with garbled esoteric borrowings. Says they are mainly of historical or literary interest rather than practical spiritual value. So that's the end of that first section that we started in the last one of these shows. Section two, the distinction between white and black magic. This is, so it says, this is based on a sharp contrast between good and evil spirits, and it's largely modern. It says in ancient Egypt, India, and Greece, deities like Typhon, Juggernaut, that's interesting, and Hecate were not considered, less divine than other gods. Each occult science was liable to abuse, technically known as black magic. This included creating malefic talismans, which are, says astrology here, poisoning, and that in parentheses it says esoteric medicine, metal sophistication, alchemy, it says, witchcraft, divination, and then dealing with devils, and it says ceremonial magic there in parentheses. So, again, these are, I don't know much about this, but these are the views of the author. Says that white ceremonial magic is defined as communicating with good spirits for good or innocent purposes, while black magic involves evil spirits and evil purposes. However, the ceremonial literature does not maintain this clear distinction. Theurgic texts often include rites for invoking evil spirits, complicating the definitions. So basically saying things get muddy and confusing depending on how people use them, I guess. Says the purposes of magic are often childish, blurring the lines between good and evil to foolish and evil. Both white and black magic texts contain objectionable and frivolous elements. I kind of have a hard time with some of this because I feel like I've heard of people over the years that I sort of, they seem to be like good, decent people to me that have sort of looked into all these things and maybe even done some of these things, and they're still good, decent people. So I don't know how I feel about all that, but that's why we're looking into this material here and just going over the summaries of what it says to see what we can figure out. It says, thus, the two branches have significant overlap. Black magic is not invariably diabolical, and white magic is not always good. The texts are naturally composite and hard to firmly separate. So let's take a little break here and check on the chat here and see what you all are thinking, if anything. But yeah, so this is already interesting. I've always wondered about that too, if magic is sort of similar to just the state of the world in general, where you have everyone is sort of dealing with trying to be good, or some people are trying, doesn't matter, they maybe they're not. But in other words, this whole mix of all different kinds of people with all different ratios of good or bad intentions at any given time. And it sounds like that's basically what they're saying about, the author here is saying about magic as well, is that there's sort of that exists there as well too. So yeah, going back to the material here. Once I find my spot again. Okay. Says, the summary here says, the magical mindset has traditionally made a clear distinction between the magus, which is white in parentheses there, and sorcerer, black in parentheses. Modern occultism has developed this into brothers of the left slash right, adepts of transcendental good and good or evil. However, this is not borne out in the literature. And again, this is from centuries ago, a couple centuries ago, I believe. I read somewhere. I should know that, but I forgot to check on that again. But this is not, it says modern, but it's only modern in vague, large scale history terms. It says, rumors of current attempts at formal diabolism in Europe resemble the old magic of the grimoires rather than the romanticized modern notions of the brothers of the left-hand path, in quotation marks there. Both the left and right-hand paths, as commonly depicted, are largely creations of fiction. Again, this is all according to this author, and I don't know much about it, but excuse me. Of course, my nose decides to start acting up right in the middle of this section here, but that's actually the end of that second section of this first chapter. So yeah, it seems to be, I've heard of the whole left-hand, right-hand path thing before as well. I'm just not very familiar with it, but I'm sort of seeing some terms I'm kind of vaguely familiar with. Again, I'm more into, I know more about just people's experiences than I do about with paranormal without sort of any kind of, or at least much attempts at trying to generate activity. I'm more familiar with sort of just things that happen to people than I am with any kind of summoning or anything like that. I mean, of course, I've heard of stories of people doing that too, but usually those don't always end so well, so I don't feature them in my show, because overall, I try to keep this about the more positive aspects of the paranormal, because as I always say, it is very much depicted as all negative, all evil in a lot of popular culture and Hollywood and all those things. So let me see here. We got about 10 minutes left, so let's get back into this. And maybe I should have actually gotten more material together, but we'll see what happens. Section 3 here. This one says, and this again is a summary, says, the title is The Unprinted Literature of Ceremonial Magic, is the title of this section. It says, magical rituals can be considered under three heads, or three sections, I guess. Transcendental, composite, and black. With the understanding that these categories overlap. The inquiry is based primarily on printed literature rather than manuscripts, as printed works have had more real influence. It says the Arsenal Library in Paris has a reputation for being rich in magical manuscripts, but there are also large collections in the British Museum. That's amazing. If you think about that, all these different locations, museums and libraries, that have these texts about all these different things. I wonder, again, sort of going back to the last episode that I just recorded here, that one was about hotels, but another common place that seems to have activity in a lot of cases is museums and or libraries. So, and I wonder if some of that is due to energies from people or generated by people attached to different materials, objects, such as books. So, anyway, most manuscripts are not earlier than the 14th century and draw inspiration from the Key of Solomon. So I've heard of that one before, but don't know much about it. It says three small classes or cycles of manuscripts are of special interest. One, the group of Honorius, comprising manuscripts, the chief one being Sloane 313, a 14th century Latin work on vellum connected to the grimoire of Honorius, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, Honorius, says it accounts for the church's condemnation of magic and contains both white and black magical operations. Two, the Sefer Rezael group, existing in two manuscript forms, Sloane 3826 and 3853. So Sloane 3826 is a 16th century English translation, divided into seven books, covering astral influences, virtues of natural things, suffumigations, times, I'm guessing that means time periods, purifications, the heavens and / angels, and names. Three, the English manuscripts of the Lemageton, or Lesser Key of Solomon, all of late date. It says Sloane 2731 and 3648 contain that full document. Sloane 3648 also includes the Ars Notoria and Paracelsus Archidoxes. And those are some fancy words. Oh, at least to me anyway. The three manuscript groups contain some overlapping material derived from common sources. Independent treatises like Liber Lunae, I'm not sure, have contributed to multiple later compilations. We'll stop there for a second. That's going through a lot. But there's not much left here to go, so we'll just finish this. It says, additional miscellaneous manuscripts of note include one, Sloane 3884. So I'm guessing that's a translator, but I'm not sure. Which is treatises on necromancy and crystallomancy, spuriously attributed to Roger Bacon. I believe I heard that name before. Two, Sloane 3850, which is a 17th century manuscript with excerpts from Agrippa and the Heptameron and treatises for various magical purposes. And then, so that's where that ends there. Says the unprinted literature of ceremonial magic presents opportunities for further research, but may not justify the effort involved from a purely historical or bibliographic perspective. So that's all the material I have set aside for now. Have to get more for next time. But and that's also the end of the first chapter of that book. So we are making headway. So many materials there mentioned. I mean, that just shows that obviously throughout time, people have been thinking about this and different ways to, I guess, have effects on the world. And again, for various intentions. This has been really amazing so far already, just going through these are just summaries of this material. That's the amazing part, is that this is not the actual material. It's just being summarized and already. Just it took two shows to get through the preface and the introduction and the first chapter of the first part of the book. So I think it's going to take a while to get through this whole thing, but I think it'll be worth it. I'm already sort of learning some names I was not familiar with, seeing some other names that I kind of have heard before, and hopefully we'll keep learning as we go. This has been amazing. I'm definitely want to keep going with this and finish this book eventually. Looking forward to, if y'all have any other ideas for books I should review, please let me know, as far as nonfiction, paranormal, or esoteric or occult books. And if I can get to them, excuse me, I will, and we'll see about reviewing them. Also, even just fictional novels or stories that are paranormal in nature, happy to do those in there as well. I did include a couple of novels, Frankenstein and Dracula, in between the ending of the complete books of Charles Fort and then this current series on the Book of Ceremonial Magic. And so I do want to keep doing that whenever we do a series like this, a long series, after it's done, sort of throw in a couple of fictional books. I was thinking of reviewing the entire series of Odd Thomas books from Dean Koontz, because I listened to those over the years, and so I could easily find summaries of those and talk about those, because they were really interesting. Just in his views of how the paranormal might work, how that all that might work, and all that. So might do that at some point. I do as well. Don in the chat there says love Odd Thomas. Yeah. The sort of the rules and cans and can'ts of all the paranormal in that series is fascinating in and of itself, but then of course the story. It really does focus on someone who seems to have been born with abilities and is just trying to deal with them. And of course, it is a sort of an action series as well. So he's sort of a reluctant hero kind of character in a way. But it still is amazing, and I guess there's even like a graphic novel that takes place somewhere in the middle of the series that has come out recently. Obviously, there's a movie came out some years ago of the first book, I guess. So it's definitely popular. Or has been popular. So happy to review any other books that I can in the future as well. So thank you all for listening, and I will talk to you all on the next episode of Salcedo Paranormal. Take care.